Hey guys, it is Ryan. For years, Chumba's been setting the bar for online social casino fun, and it just keeps getting better with new games released every week and daily bonuses to collect. The fun never stops. So claim your welcome bonus now at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Hello and welcome to Brokenomics. Now, in this episode, I'm filming this a couple of days, and you'll see it presumably a couple of days after. America's had its birthday. So happy birthday, America. You are now apparently 250 years old, which is relatively modest by country standards. You're old enough to drink, maybe drive. So congratulations on that. Now, the only thing I would say is I'm not sure I necessarily agree with your date. So as far as I'm concerned, America did not become a country until the Treaty of Paris, which was in September 3rd, 1783, wasn't it, when Britain recognised America as a country. But you guys like to use 1776 for whatever reason. So, okay, fair enough. So we go with that, because I suppose it's your birthday, so you get to say, and we're going to be very polite about it. But we do need to give you a scorecard now that you've reached the young adult stage of countryhood. So what we're going to do is we're going to review the class and see how America is getting on, and hopefully is going to enter adulthood as a country very sensibly. We are hoping that it is not going to be like those that you see them all the time before and after university, where you get a very pretty girl and then she goes off to university and then she comes back and she's got that SSR stare, SSIR, whatever it is, the drugs they take, the stare, and they've got a nose ring and they put on weight and they've got blue hair. We are really hoping that doesn't happen to America. It doesn't wokeify itself. So we're going to look at a couple of categories, and we're going to compare you to the rest of the class, which is going to be more the UK, obviously. Germany, that's a good comparison. Russia, all of those are about 1,100 years old. I mean, Germany gets a bit ropey because it likes to reinvent itself periodically. So you can make an argument for 1,100. I suppose you can make another argument for 155 if you went with the Bismarck number, or 70 years if you went with the post-war settlement, but whatever. And also we're going to look at Japan and China, who are sort of double these numbers. They're sort of 2,200 years old. So they've had to repeat the class a few times. So, yes, so let's start with, a little bit of, opening data on what we're looking at here. In 1776, the US had about 2.5 million people, which isn't a lot. By 2026, you're up to something like 342 million. So you've had 130 times growth from the early days, which is, impressive scaling. I will give you that. You've gone from 13 colonies to global superpower. So well done. And on the first entrance in the scorecard, we're going to have to go with economy, aren't we? Now, on that, America looks really bloody good, doesn't it? It's about 28.75 trillion is your GDP. And the closest to that is going to be China, with about 18.75 trillion GDP. The only thing I would say is that when you are measuring that in US dollars, the US is going to do well. I can pretty much guarantee that if I started a country and it uses Dan dollars, then the Dan Estonia would come out incredibly well on that comparison, because it can print as many Dan dollars as it likes and it can basically borrow as many Dan dollars as it likes from itself. So it does matter that you're measuring this in US dollars. But on the strict interpretation of GDP, the US is still rocking and rolling, sort of 10 trillion ahead of its closest competitor, but China. If you look at things like energy production, if you measure the economy based on energy, which is probably quite a good way of doing it because it shows how much useful work you can do, China is well ahead of the US at this point. The rest of the class, Germany's about 5 trillion, Japan, maybe 4 trillion. UK, bit below 4 trillion, 3.6, something like that. So, yeah, well done, America. You're still crushing it on the economy front. GDP per head is probably a nicer way of looking at it. US, again, holds up very well there, about $84,000 per head. Well clear of even Germany next at $55,000 per head. UK, about 53. We're a bit behind there. Japan, down to 32 now. Poor Japan. They're suffering lately, aren't they? And then China, only about $13,000 per head. So by that, you know, America is looking good. I will give you that. It is still looking good on many metrics. But I wanted to look at a number of explicit categories. And the first real category that I want to look at is going to be foundational design. You have to give it to the Americans on foundational design, don't you? I'm a huge fan of the founding fathers. I mean, they of course they called themselves Englishmen for most of their lives, and what they were trying to do is uphold the very best of what should have been English values, even though England had slipped away from them. And everything from the Declaration of Independence to the Constitution itself, or the various other documents, are exceptional documents. And it is really a testament that America could have withstood so many Democrat governments, you know, including the Obama and Biden years, and yet it is still mostly functional, thanks to a absolute golden set of constitutional documents setting it up in the first place. So A+ to America on that. UK is actually quite a good comparator here, because it doesn't have a written constitution, it has a sort of evolving one, and it is actually held up as remarkably stable over a very long time. You know, rich people just are very happy to come and live in London because of the stability and the, you know, financial security of everything that goes with it. Germany isn't bad on this front. Japan, I suppose, because of the language is used, doesn't get much of this. Russia does abysmally on this one, I'm afraid. You don't see wealthy people running off to Russia, and China is very poor indeed. People deliberately keep their money out of China. So, you know, I will give you that one. What about durability? What about if we looked at that? So the US, actually, again, another A+ on that one. I mean, they were, you know, they're 250 years and they haven't really changed the fundamental design principles. They have been rotted, they've been infiltrated, they've been subverted, but still 250 years on basically the same platform is absolutely A+, I'll give you that. Britain is also doing very well on this, probably an A+ for Britain as well. Long periods of stability. Germany starts to get a bit ropey for historic reasons that we know well. They have not been remarkably stable, and they've had to sort of re-engineer themselves a number of times. But I mean, America, they had their ups and downs, didn't they? Their civil war, you know, held up, came through it. You know, various shocks along the way, but they've managed to be a remarkably durable nation, and the rest of the class really can't, you know, say that. Japan, very similar reasons to Germany, have not been that durable. I suppose they kept the emperor, that's something. And what is it, Russia and China, I mean, they've just been all over the place, haven't they? Including long periods of embracing communism, which didn't work out particularly well for them. Next mark in the scorecard. The constraints on executive power. So, brilliant, America, on this one. You wrote those, you got A+ for your foundational documents, and then you constrained executive power from doing basically anything, which is wonderful, and it stopped you going off the rails sooner, but it does mean that now everything has been so utterly infiltrated, it's you can change the executive, but you can't really do much with it, which is a little bit of a problem. You know, you're constrained by Congress and more to the point, the courts. And as Trump has found, you can't really do anything without unanimous agreement of every Ninth Circuit judge, which is a bit of a handicap. So that is unfortunate. UK, this is a bit of a mixed blessing. Constraints on executive power. Well, Blair has built some in, but still, Parliament is sovereign and in theory can do pretty much anything. So actually, once Western nations have been subverted to this point, The UK is probably one of the very few countries in the world that could get itself out of it just by having an election. Because Parliament is sovereign, it can pass whatever laws it likes, and it could very swiftly extricate itself from the sort of post-war liberal rot if it chose to. So technically, this is a win for the US. I've got to give it that. But although this constraint on executive power, even though it has helped slow its decline in the liberal post-war era, it also makes it harder to get out of. So unfortunate. Germany, lots of constraints on executive power, but very difficult because it's kind of hard-baked in. Their constitution is actually directly a liberal post-war constitution, which kind of means they could be stuck without a bloody revolution, which is of course very sad. Japan, parliament, I mean, is quite strong, but it's very bureaucratic. Russia and China, I mean, they just have revolutions, don't they? And there's absolutely no constraint on executive power whatsoever. I mean, a tiny token amount in Russia, but none in China. So again, America is doing very well on that. Separations of power, I suppose if you treat that as a separate category, again, another A for the US, maybe an A+ for them there. They've done very well. They've separated out those powers. UK is probably getting a C there, but, you know, like I said, that could turn out to be an advantage. You know, Germany is actually quite strong in separation of powers. Japan is decent, but Russia and China, again, there's no real separation of powers. So again, everything we've looked at so far, if you consider them all to be virtues, America is just slam dunking, you know, A's and A+'s all over the place. Federal autonomy. America should be getting an A+ here, shouldn't it? But it's probably more like a B at this point, because you should have 50 states who can basically chart their own course. But this has just been eroded year after year, where basically the states have to do whatever the hell they're told by central government, otherwise they get their highway funding cut or some other damn thing. So federalism, really, the US should be excelling here. Should be excelling, but its grades have dropped significantly lately because it has allowed the centre to exercise more and more control. So very sad. Very sad to see grades dropping in federalism. Not that the UK does much better. In fact, none of our... I mean, Germany does all right here. Germany does have reasonably strong federal devolvement, but none of the other countries on our list have any of that. So, but still, another top of the class from America. Well done. Good work there. Rights architecture. Again, got to give it to the US, haven't you? Do we give them an A for rights, for freedom? I mean, that's what my American friends like to talk about, freedom. You can make a decent case for this. I mean, you don't get arrested for saying things unless you're that Hendrix woman who went to a play park and got annoyed with a kid stealing from her. So, I mean, in practice, you can get arrested for saying things in the US, but it is much rarer, much, much rarer. Basic freedoms do tend to hold up. The only thing is, I found when I've been to America, it's kind of weird because they have this image of themselves as being, you know, very, very much do what they want. But I've never been told what to do as much as when I went to America. There's so many things, don't do this, you must do this, and apparently you can't cross the road because it's a crime, which I think they're making up, but apparently that's a crime in America, crossing the road, jaywalking or something, whatever they call it. But, you know, and whenever you go into any sort of public space, there's always you very, very, you know, told what to do at all times. You know, you have to walk this way and do that and whatever else. Okay, fine. But I suppose if you're at home, you know, living your life, you can pretty much get on with most things with a reasonable minimization of permits and all the rest of it, unless you're trying to build anything or do anything, or you live in California or a number of other states. So again, grades are dropping here on rights. Should we give them a B? Do you think that's fair? Was an A, was definitely an A+ in the past. But I think their grades are dropping here as well. UK, Germany, yeah, rights are in the toilet, aren't they? Especially the UK. You need a license for everything. You get arrested if you say anything Keir Starmer doesn't like, so that's not good. Japan, I suppose, is holding up reasonably well, but they've got such a monoculture that nobody thinks to take offence of anything because they all think the same thing because they're all Japanese at the moment. Russia, you can speak your mind on anything apart from the government. And China, you can speak your mind on almost nothing. Maybe food, the virtues of eating dogs or something. Yes. So again, well, I suppose top of the class, again, to America. But you're probably only getting maybe a B plus at the moment. Has been stronger. Oh, I suppose unless you take into account the civil rights stuff. But I don't care. So anyway, amendability, ability to change course. Let's treat that as his own category. I mean, in theory, you can pass a constitutional amendment and do whatever you like. The president does have broad executive powers, but the courts have just massively overstepped their role again and again and again. And we don't have presidents these days who are willing to say, nice ruling, now let see if you can enforce it because I've got an army and you haven't. And realistically, is there going to be any constitutional amendments ever again when, you know, the legislative is always split more or less 50-50 and they just disagree on absolutely everything? It has the US baked it in? So while in theory I can see them changing course, and I suppose they did everything they did within the confines of the Constitution, so all this wokery nonsense has wormed its way in slowly. So I suppose you could worm it out slowly, but that's not good. That's slow. Maybe a C plus? Adaptability, politically? Am I being too harsh? Possibly too generous? The UK is probably an A minus adaptability. You know, sovereign parliament can just change anything it damn well wants to at any time. I mean, Germany isn't too bad. In theory, it can change things. But a lot of it's baked in at the constitutional layer. So even if you get a party that wants to change something like the AfD, they just get blocked. Japan has become a bit sclerotic. I suppose Russia and China can change things on the basis that they can just have another revolution. But, I mean, probably very low scores there. So, I mean, it's difficult to argue that on flexibility, political flexibility, the US is definitely not first in the class. That goes to the UK on that one. And maybe Germany is second, because even though it does have a constitution, it's slightly more adaptable than the US one. So, yep, I'm going to have to drop your grades on that one, America. Sorry about that. What about demographics? Should we talk about demographics? I mean, just headline to frame this. As we mentioned, America is now up to something like 342 million people, which is a very big increase from the 2.5 million they started with in those 13 colonies. And in order to do that, of course, they couldn't just rely on breeding up the English that they already had, which is a shame, because it would imagine what it'd be like if it was all English today. That'd be quite stellar, wouldn't it? Incidentally, having worked in London, you meet a lot of Americans come to work in America. That's right, in London, or come to visit or whatever else. And I was forever meeting Americans who describe themselves and saying, "Oh, I'm German American or Spanish American or some other American." Never once have I ever met an American who describes himself as English American. Never once. But isn't that supposed to be the largest group comfortably in America is English American? They never say that. I don't know why. Yeah, maybe because it's just American. But you could describe yourself as English American, couldn't you? But you never do. Yeah, so 342 million of you, well done. China, apparently 1.4 billion, although some suspicion that's being overstated. So you're not the biggest. Russia, about 150 million. So decent size, only half the US though. After you lost the USSR, the bits around it, but I don't know how good those bits around it were. Japan is surprisingly large, 124 million people there, although they are declining rapidly because they've all forgotten how to have sex, and their birth rate is horrific. So that is unfortunate. Germany is actually reasonable size, 84 million, decent size that for a European country. And the UK is supposed to be 69.5 million, although I severely doubt it because we are probably not counting as many invaders as we should. So let's get to the scorecards, shall we? Fertility, that's important. America is 1.6. For every woman or couple, whichever way you want to look at it, 1.6 children. Now, that isn't good until you compare it to the rest of the class. I mean, population decline is baked in, which is very unfortunate given that Western countries have a lot of boomers who require an awful lot of pension. So not ideal. So you think 1.6, well, that really isn't good, is it? But America is surprisingly actually still top of the class, even with numbers like that. Not a good subject for the class. UK, 1.5. Fertility rate, and you've got to think that is propped up by immigrants a lot. I mean, a lot of the American will be as well, but still. Germany, 1.4. Not great. You can see why they went down the immigration route. Japan, very worrying, 1.2. I mean, that really is bad. They're just, come on, it's not hard. Find a good-looking girl. Talk to her. Maybe buy her a drink. But no, they can't do it for whatever reason. Very worrying. Russia is... people always say the demographics in Russia are awful, 1.4. I mean, it's about the same as Germany. It's only slightly worse than the UK. It's not that much worse than the US. And China is bloody abysmal. It's like one. They're just halving every single generation. Very concerning for their demographic collapse. So nobody has done well, but for some reason, America's C minus here is still going to put it top of the class. So a difficult subject for the class, having children, which you wouldn't think is that hard. People have been doing it for a long time, but people have forgotten. Aging, where are they going to score on that? Well, America's only about 30% of its population is over 65. I say only. Again, you think that sounds bad until you hear about some of the other comparators. Mind you, Germany isn't quite as bad. Germany is 23% of its population is over 65. So actually they're doing better. UK is high teens, like 18, 19, something like that. Sorry, did I say America is 30% over 65? I meant Japan. Bad, Dan. Japan is doing very badly with 30% over 65. No, America, I meant to say, is about the same as the UK. 18, 19% are over 30, over 65. So, yeah, not good, not good. China, mid-teens, as well as Russia, mid-teens. So, I mean, out of all of that, suppose you've got to score it to Russia or China on that one. They're top of the class when it comes to an aging population. And then you've got Germany, UK, and US are all disappointing, and Japan is absolutely flunking it. So we've had the first top of the class go to China and Russia because of their relatively young population. And by relatively, I just mean very slightly worse off in the population imbalance. So no, sorry, America, you've dropped another category. Your parents will be disappointed. Well, we're not. Well, we are in some ways, but okay. Immigrant stock. Yes, tougher one, this one. Japan, I think, is going to come top of the class, isn't it? No, it might be China, actually. So only about 3% of Japan is foreign-born. So well done, well done. China is also extremely low, but it's difficult to put a finger on how much. But top of the class is with an A at least, probably an A plus, is Japan and possibly China if we had good data. So well done. Russia, it depends if you count ex-Soviet migration, but they have had a fair amount of non-Russian, but the exact percentage varies, like I said, depending on how you treat the ex-Soviet state. US, something like 18% of their country. Sorry, no, 14.8% of their country is considered immigrant population. And by immigrant population, I mean as in relatively recent, as in, yeah, modern immigrants, not people who came over from, you know, Ireland in 1909 or whatever the hell it was. You can't really expect to win in America on immigration. China has certainly got that one. Germany is very high, about 17 million out of the 85, I think you said it was. And UK, 12 million out of their 69 and a half, apparently. So, yeah, Germany and the UK have completely flunked this one. US has maybe scraped a passing grade, but only just, what's a passing grade? Is that a D? Yeah, we probably give America D or D minus here, and Japan is just absolutely crushing it with an A plus. So not really in contention there, were you, America? That's unfortunate.
If you enjoyed that content, and of course you did because you are a smart person, then why don't you go over to lotuseaters.com where you can watch the whole episode for as little as £5 a month, which really is not much money at all, and you get loads of really good content.
Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here, and I have discovered a fun new escape from the daily grind, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has hundreds of social casino-style games and it's all free to play anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So get to chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.